Hello there.
Welcome back to another episode of Star Wars in a Galaxy, watching all the Star Wars we can get our hands on. I'm Eli.
I'm Jacob.
And we are both so excited about this episode. This is one of my favorite episodes to do, our annual tier list episode. We are here. Unfortunately, Mads was not able to make it with us, but we hope to have her on in the future. But so it's just going to be Jacob and I doing tier lists today. But I've gathered four. Jacob, how many do you have?
I have three.
Okay, we'll probably do three each, I think. We'll see how long the episode gets, but we'll definitely at least do two each of ours. How this works, obviously, this is our fourth tier list episodes after our two tier lists alone, and then our last one last year with The Great Carnage Key. So, of course, how this works, because I want to get right into this, is we are forced into agreement. We have to compromise between the two. All of our tier lists will be S, A, B, C, D, and F. With compromises. So if Jacob rates something in A tier and I rate something in C tier, we will of course put it in B tier because that is the median between the two, and we'll negotiate throughout. Yeah. All right. And so Jacob and I have been combing the depths of Tier Maker. It gets harder every year to do this because we've done some of the obvious ones on In a Galaxy, and of course I will post the link to our account so you can see where exactly we rank this in the description of this episode. But yeah, I'm excited to see this. I'm excited to see what crazy shit Jacob and I have come up with today. I have some really interesting ones. But Jacob, I think you should go first. What's your first tier list?
All right.
Can you text it to me?
Yes, I will text it to you. I want to start off with a bang. Since it's been a while since we did this, my background, which Eli can see the background.
Yeah,
is we're on StreamYard. But
it's
my background might tip you off. I would like to do a Star Wars Rebels episode tier list. Now, I know when we did this in the past with the Clone Wars, we did an arc tier list.
And is this just individual episodes?
The thing about Rebels is that it's quite a bit less serialized at times, but I think we can allow this to function as arcs. There's certain episodes like Fight or Flight.
So this is gonna be a longer one. But that's fine. I have one longer one.
Like Siege of Lothal, of course, we can function at, for example, single episodes.
All right. Star Wars Rebels episodes. Holy crap. Yep. This is quite extensive. All right. Star Wars Rebels episodes. Let me share this screen with you so we can both see it. Spark of Rebellion. Let's do two-parters in both parts just because I don't remember how to designate parts from each other. I do not remember. Spark of Rebellion, I feel like at minimum A.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe not S tier, just because we know how...
It's a great start, but it doesn't reach the heights of the series.
Yeah, but it is a pretty perfect start to the series. I think they did a fantastic job of introducing Ezra and not getting so bogged down in all the exposition that it doesn't deliver a very good story. I think everyone shines, Sabine, Zeb, Chopper as well. Hurricane and Ezra.
It's a great introduction.
Yeah, I'll put A tier.
It is the pinnacle of A tier. It's very good, but it's not the heights of what the show reaches.
Yeah.
Droids in Distress, I would go B tier personally. We obviously have that moment where Ezra uses the Force for the first time, and obviously we have R2 and Anthony Daniels and C-3PO, who will never not be a delight.
Yeah.
B tier.
Yeah, I think the heist element is fun. Makatua is pretty cool in this. I think B tier. It is pretty good. Yeah.
Fight or Flight, I would also put as B tier. I love the fun emphasis on this episode, really taking time to build the characters. And it's incredibly stupid, but it's charmingly stupid.
Yeah, it's a very silly episode, no doubt. But I'll say B tier as well. I think it comes out good. I'm a fan of this episode.
Rise of the Old Masters, I would also put as A. We get our introduction to the lesser Grand Inquisitor. Oops, shouldn't have said that. Anyway.
If you could see my face right now, audience. Yeah, I think this
one of us was satisfied by the Tales of the Empire trailer, and one of us was not.
Yes, you. I think anyone who's stuck around will know who is who in this scenario.
Yeah, although I did love that trailer. But anyway.
Yeah, I think this is a fantastic introduction to the Grand Inquisitor. I think complicating Kanan's story, delivering some really fun action, very well executed. I think this deserves A.
Also, it's really funny now in retrospect. I'm sure when we get to this in a galaxy, which will probably be next year, it's really funny now thinking about how Kanan was so full of hope that Luminara could teach Ezra when we've seen what Luminara is like, and Luminara would be such a horrible teacher for Ezra.
Yeah, they would not gel at all. Like, the fact that Kanan is such a rogue is the only reason that he can connect to Ezra in the first place.
Yeah. Breaking ranks, I actually really love this episode. I put it in A. I understand if you want to place it lower.
I think B for this one. I think I would say
I'll put it at B. I'll put it at B. Fine.
I think it's a high B. It's definitely a good episode. I think I really like seeing inside the Imperial Academy, you know, getting that other perspective of, you know, the stormtroopers that we've been just kicking the shit out of in every episode thus far. How do they come up into the Empire? What is it like on the inside of the Imperial kind of war machine?
Yeah, and we get these instructions. This is very incredibly charismatic kids. It was Zara Leonis and Oleg and Jaikel, who now is in Ahsoka, I guess. Thank you, Vinny Thomas. The fuck?
Yeah.
When he showed up in Ahsoka, I did not know what to think.
It's done in a very accessible, kid-friendly way, obviously, but it really is an interesting look at how do these kids kind of function and relate to one another and make meaning in their lives in a system, an authoritarian regime in which they are expendable and encouraged to turn on one another and step on one another.
Yeah. Out of darkness, I would say either C or D. I'm not a huge fan of this episode. It's fine, but it's mostly Hera and Sabine just blasting Fernox.
It definitely could be better. I think it's nice to see some of Hera and Sabine and their relation developed. I'd say C tier. I don't think it needs to be D.
Yeah.
If you're okay with C tier.
No, that's fine. Empire Day, I'm waffling between B and A. There's some really great stuff with this. I love hearing the major key Imperial anthem. That's really fucking fun. And we left on that incredible cliffhanger of Sibo knows what happened to Ezra Bridger's parents, which is legendary in the series. And I don't think they get discussed enough. But yeah, I would say B or A. Honestly, what you decide is going to ultimately put this where it is.
I'll say B. I think obviously, thematically, emotionally, it's incredibly important. But I think the execution, the pacing, the dialogue is not quite up to the par with Rebels Best, I would say.
Gathering Forces, I'm waffling between B and C. It's fine. Apparently, I'm not a huge fan of the Fernox, because anytime the Fernox show up, I'm putting the shit lower. But I would say C personally, but if you want to put it in B, I understand.
I was going to say A for this one. I really like this episode. I love Ezra calling in the tapping into the dark side of the Force to call the giant Fernox and facing down the Grand Inquisitor in their fight, Kanan's fight. So maybe we split the difference and say B.
Yeah, B, yeah. This one. Path of the Jedi, I feel, is our first truly S-tier episode.
You think it's S-tier?
I actually do, yes. I think it
okay.
is.
Okay, I can agree with that. Bringing Yoda back.
Yeah, bringing Yoda.
The visions.
Just the voice of Yoda, the visions. It sets Ezra on his own unique Jedi path. And,
yeah, it's
you know,
amazing it's, for Ezra. Yeah, yeah it's no, good, I'm, right? I'm totally down with that, actually. Yeah, S tier, 100%.
As opposed to Idiot's Array, which
episodes.
It turns out just having Billy Dee Williams as Lando Calrissian, while good, cannot save your episode.
They got to have bonus points for bringing back Billy, though. They got to have bonus points. They got to get a little cred for that.
He's great, but just because he's great doesn't mean the episode is great.
Yeah, the whole thing what's his name? Not As Morrigan.
It is As Morrigan.
Oh, it is As Morrigan.
It is
I was getting confused with
Hondo.
Gosh, no, I was getting sorry, Visago.
Visago, yeah, no, it's Ezra Morrigan.
I don't like Ezra Morrigan very much, to be honest. I don't find him to be a very compelling villain.
And there's some weird slavery stuff with Hera about the Twi'leks being an overly some yucky stuff in there that I'm not crazy about. Yeah. But whatever.
I don't think it's. I think other Star Wars projects handle these themes and questions in Star Wars better.
It's one of the weaker episodes, but it's definitely a bug. It's definitely an anomaly in Rebels, not like a regular occurrence.
D? Okay, I'm fine with that, yeah. I think it's just one of those season one, the gang's going around, doing what they gotta do. And it's a little silly.
Yeah.
And that's great, but not in this episode.
Yeah. Vision of Hope. This is Travis. This is Gul Travis.
Mm.
This is fine. I would say C.
Yeah, I would say C. I think the twist that he ends up being a spy, a traitor, it doesn't really... Just the fact that I feel like the effects don't really reverberate forwards too much, so it loses some of the impact because of that. It seems like something that could be pretty important, but then it turns out to be a non-factor in the story at large. So I think C is fine for that one.
So call to action, I think, should be at least A, and I'm going to tell you why, okay? There's one reason why, okay?
Right. Buffalo Wild Wings has deals on deals. Buy one, get one half off Wing Tuesdays. Buy one, get one free Boneless Thursdays. And $3 Tall House beers every day. With all these deals, it's a win. Only at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Was it worth it? You think anybody heard?
I have a feeling they did.
So that was the Buffalo Wild Wings ad, which was voiced by the voice actor. I'm blanking on his name.
Taylor Gray.
Taylor Gray, voiced by Taylor Gray, the voice of Ezra Bridger, edited into the broadcast scene.
But like, seriously, disregarding even the meme, that broadcast at the end, I'm so excited. I don't remember a lot of it, but I remember it just being like really fucking good.
Like, oh yeah, absolutely. 100%.
It was just really heartfelt and really, it felt like a big moment. Like that Ezra was saying shit that really mattered in the Greater Rebellion. I feel like there's a direct connection from this to when they get involved into the larger rebellion in seasons 2 and especially 3.
Yeah, this is an amazing moment for him as a character where he takes everything that he's been growing, all of his growth, everything that he's been going through in this season kind of starts to really coalesce in this episode.
I would say A.
Fantastic. Yeah, I would say. Is this the episode? Is Kanan captured at the end of Call to Action?
No, I think, yes, that is correct.
Yeah, that alone is amazing as well.
Rebel Kanan. Resolve and the next episode, Call to Action and the next episode, Rebel Resolve, honestly blend together for me.
Yeah, me as well. This is they're preparing to get Kanan back.
They're both great episodes. It's just very arced.
Yeah, I would say Rebel Resolve is at least an A as well. Maybe S. I think being able to see the crew without Kanan, that's their first real huge challenge.
I'll say A.
Okay.
And Jacob, I think people are going to have no idea what we've unleashed here today, because Fire in the Galaxy, and I don't know about you.
Immediate S tier. That duel at the end, Kanan, yeah. I have nothing left to fear. Everything about this episode is just fantastic. Absolutely.
In the same vein, I think Siege of Lothal should also be put in S.
Absolutely, absolutely.
One of my favorite Vader lines of all time, I was so surprised that one of my favorite lines from Vader came from this show of all places, which is that we will squeeze Lothal until someone reveals the whereabouts of these traitors. Such a fucking great Vader line.
Such a good tone-setting opening special this season.
Of course, with all the shit with Ahsoka, and speaking of Ahsoka, two other episodes that I can't really distinguish between, so I think we should go Lost Commanders and Relics of the Old Republic. The clone episodes. I think at least A for these.
I don't know if I'm comfortable giving it an S, putting it on that level. But
yeah, A. I think they're great. I think seeing Rex and Wolf and Gregor and dealing with the effects of Order 66 and all that kind of stuff, especially now with what we're seeing in the Bad Batch, which I'm not going to spoil in case Jacob hasn't gotten up to date with stuff, but God, seeing this stuff after what we think might happen in Bad Batch is going to hit different.
Yeah, and I think that the battle in the end on Skelos, where the sandstorm comes and the AT-ATs are trying to find the ATTE, I love the way it's a little bit of an homage to the Cold War submarine warfare movies. I think that's very cool. As someone who's a huge fan of The Hunt for Red October and things like that. So yeah, I think A tier for these.
Always two there are, which is, I think this is a genuinely fun episode. I think it belongs right at B.
Can I be honest? My hot take is that Always Two There Are is an S tier episode. The introduction of the seventh sister.
We're putting this in A.
We'll put it in A. I just think the fifth brother, the seventh sister, they're so menacing in this episode. I just think I
agree really, with you about the seventh sister, 100%. I have never
the fifth brother is a joke, but we don't.
I've never found the fifth brother menacing, and I'm not gonna start, no matter what I read or watch.
Just the entire game of the suspenseful game of cat and mouse around the dark abandoned station. It's incredible.
Oh, it's creepy as hell.
And Zeb totally just bossing up and being like, two Inquisitors, no problem. We're gonna outsmart them. We're gonna completely outsmart them. We're gonna rescue.
Give me more.
I thought that was amazing. So yeah, A tier is fine. If it were up to me, it would be S. But
Bro is the broken horn is weird because I love Hondo as much as the next guy. It's Hondo as Morrigan, really, just fucking around with shit. And it's fine. But I don't think I can justify placing this higher than C. Maybe B?
I think it's cool to see Ezra go off and have his adventure with Hondo. Remind me how this episode ends.
Basically, Hondo asks Ezra to join his team. And Ezra's like, no, I'm a rebel Jedi sort of thing. And he's like, okay. And then just fucks off. I don't remember a lot of this episode.
I would be fine with C for this one. It's all right.
It's not incredibly memorable to me.
Wings of the Master.
Wings of the Master. I'd put it B. It's a perfectly good episode. It's not B for me is good episodes. Nothing like crazy memorable about them. Nothing crazy stand out. Like A is great episodes, and C and of course S is like all timers basically. But
if it were up to me, I would say A, but I think B is all right. I'm pretty partial to this episode. I like Corey as a character. I'm a big Hera and Sabine fan, so seeing them, I'm a ship nerd, I'm a starfighter nerd, so this episode, B-Wing, seeing the B-Wing in all its glory, the Blade Wing, seeing the Blade Wing in all its glory really does it for me.
You know what, screw it, we're gonna put this in A.
Oh man.
Gonna make so many compromises for me later. I feel like I should give you this
fair
one.
Enough.
Blood Sisters, it's a long way to Alderaan.
So that's
fine.
Sabine and
Ketsu
Onyo. It's a cool episode.
It's fine.
It's not one of the ones that really stands out to me.
I think it's like low B for me. I still think it's B.
Okay, that's fine. I think it's a good episode. It's just not...
I feel very similarly, actually, about Stealth Strike, actually.
Really? I love Stealth Strike. I think it's an awesome episode.
It's cool, but there's nothing like... I don't think it can justify A for me.
Okay, yeah, I think B is all right. I think I like seeing Rex and Kanan have to work through their animosity towards one another and how Ezra really steps up and helps make that happen. But I think B is more than reasonable.
Future of the Force, I would say A.
Oof. A tier.
Just for that fucking Ahsoka scene at the end.
Future of the Force might be my favorite episode that's not the finale or the beginning of season 2. My hot take is that Future of the Force also deserves to be S, but I think A tier is... S tier is reserved for the real,
heavy
classics.
Hitters. Yeah,
yeah. I think A tier, Future of the Force, fantastic episode.
Speaking of A tier, I also think Legacy deserves A tier.
Legacy. Now remind me, that's Ezra working through his family.
Well, he finds out what happens to his parent. He finds out what happened to his parents from Ryder. That when they meet Ryder, Prisoner X-10. Yeah, no, but yeah, I think Legacy should be A.
Okay, fair enough.
All right. Princess on Lothal, S tier. Next, let's go. All right. Protector of Concord Dawn.
Wait, what? Wait, were we actually giving that an S tier?
Oh, 100%.
Really?
You're going to look at me and tell me that especially, give me a second, A Princess on Lothal was released January of 2016. Carrie died, I believe, later that year. Yeah, Carrie died about a year later. You're telling me that you hear that theme being played in the episode and you don't feel things? That's what you're telling me.
Listen, look, I love Leia as much as the next guy. She's one of my favorite characters of all time in Star Wars. I really have a soft spot for everything that Leia is in. But you're telling me that's on the same level as Fire Across the Galaxy? As think about the other ones that are in S tier. Is it on the same level as Fire Across the Galaxy? Is it on the same level as Twilight of the Apprentice, Family Reunion and Farewell, other S tier episodes? If you want it to be there,
You make a good point.
I won't disagree with
you. You make a good point. My answer is still yes, though.
Okay. I guess if maybe it's there's S tier and there's S tier, and I think maybe
if you really want it to be an A, but it's just so special to me.
Okay, if it's important to you, 100%. I'm with that. 100%.
It's just like getting that extra level of connectivity back to the Skywalker saga and all that kind of stuff, and like Julie Dolan, I think, just does a great job as Leia. Yeah, I appreciate that episode a lot. Protector, Concord, Dawn, I think should be A. Introduction to Rao, major victory for the Rebels in this one by capturing him. Really interesting stuff, expanding into Mandalorian lore and stuff like that.
Yeah, expanding Sabine's story.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Yeah.
Legends of the Lasat, I think we're going to disagree on. I would put it at B.
I feel like this deserves A. I think about all the episodes that came before this. We really didn't get a lot of Zeb. We didn't get a lot of Zeb in this season. And it's nice. It's very nice.
I'll put it in A.
To see him get some time, go through his journey. And it's a beautiful story.
It is a great story.
And the thing of the bow rifle and the elders taking them through the star cluster to Lyra Song. Come on, that's awesome. It's an amazing episode.
It is good. The call pre the finale, I would put in B, but after the finale, I feel like we have to put it in A.
Yeah, I think knowing what comes next, and as an episode, I think it's a good episode as well.
It's really good.
It's a darn good episode.
It's definitely enhanced by the finale, but I also think it's really good, and by Ahsoka, of course. But yeah, but I think it's really good on its own as well. Homecoming, I would say B. I might even go C, but I think I'd probably say B.
Homecoming.
Because I don't even think this is the best Ryloth episode in the show.
Oh, absolutely not. I think season three Ryloth arc is incredible. But I like Homecoming. I like getting to see Hera with Gobe and Numi, with Chom. I like seeing the different sides, the different pockets of the Rebellion aren't always on the same page. That's interesting.
By the way, Gobe and Numa.
Did I miss say?
Goba and Numi.
Oops. Okay, yeah.
You said that it registered with me, and I was like, something doesn't feel right about that. And took me a minute to be like, okay, whatever. Anyway, but yeah, I think B. Are you committed to A?
If you think it's B, I'm not too committed to say that it's not. I think that's okay. Can we take
honorable ones? I would also say is A.
Oh, honorable ones is an easy. I would almost be tempted to say S tier. I think as a standalone episode that isn't a finale or a season opener, as a standalone episode that's not trying to tie together a bunch of different plot lines, I think this is one of the best that Rebels delivers. I think putting Zeb and Kallus in this situation and basically just seeing what happens with these characters, I think it's so beautiful. And visually as well, I think the episode is so beautiful and striking on that moon of Geonosis, seeing Geonosis hanging low up in the sky as a contrast to the blue ice moon that they're on. And then obviously, emotionally, what these two characters are going through and what it means to them to have to work together. I would almost be tempted to say S, but I can go with A.
I think we're going to do A. Shroud of Darkness is S. Come on.
Shroud of Darkness is S. Yeah, seeing Jedi Inquisitor... Everything about that episode, going into the temple.
Ahsoka facing Vader, Kane being knighted, Ezra finally getting to talk to Yoda. Yeah, absolutely. It's great. It's a harbinger of what's to come, and it's fantastic. So Forgotten Droid is fine, I would say B.
Wait, hold on.
This is where Chopper discovers AP-5.
Is this the episode that ends with AP-5 floating out in space? Or is that
no?
Later?
That's Double Agent Droid.
Oh yeah.
That's season three.
Yeah, this one's fine. AP-5 as a character is, I feel like, not terribly important or memorable in the grand scheme of things.
I like him, but it's just fine. I think it's just fine.
I think it's nice. It's a cool story with them on the Imperial freighter, but overall, I could go C for this one, to be honest.
I think it deserves B, personally. But
you think it deserves B?
Yeah.
Okay, we can put it in.
Because I think it's better than Out of Darkness and Vision of Hope and Brothers of Broken Heart. Mystery of Chopper Base, I think, is A.
Ooh, yeah. I love Mystery of Chopper Base.
I think it's great to see them discover this world and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And just having that moment. Gosh, I think it's in this and not in Twilight of the Apprentice, but that moment where we see Zeb and Ezra kick back and sit together listening to the rock
radio,
the space rock music. That's such a gorgeous moment because it's in a show about found family. They're finally all together doing their thing, just hoping that they can make a difference in the galaxy, hoping that they can stay together, stick together. But you just, as the audience, it's heartbreaking because you just, there's been, especially in this episode, but all through the latter half of the season, there's just so much signaling that whatever happens at the end of this season, it's going to be catastrophic in some way. Or no.
I will do
nothing's going to be the same.
I will do both of us a favor and speed this along by placing both parts of Twilight of the Apprentice and both parts of Steps into Shadow in S tier.
Yeah. Phenomenal episodes, all of them.
Great episodes.
Where did we put Chopper Base? We put that in A?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Holocrons
Season
of
3,
Fate.
Here we come.
Holocrons of Fate, I would say A as well.
This is what Maul's coming back.
He captures the ghost crew. Shit with the Bendu. Once a secret is known, it cannot be unknown.
I think this is an important episode. I like it.
Yeah, I'd say A. Okay. I would also say A for Antilles Extraction.
Antilles Extraction.
I love
Yeah, Antilles Extraction is a really cool episode.
It's fun. I like seeing Wedge. I like seeing Hobby.
I agree.
Great stuff. Hera's Heroes, I would put...
That's got to be an A or an S.
Probably
such
a
good episode.
Yeah. I was thinking maybe S, but no, I think it's A.
It's so tense and emotional, and seeing Hera and Thrawn come face to face, foreshadowing
fantastic.
Everything that happens later. Fantastic. How about the last battle? Where do you want to put that?
Last battle is tricky for me. I'm going to be conservative and say A.
Oh, really?
Oh, no, I can't. I'm putting it in S.
Really? You think it's that high? You think it's S tier?
Jacob, this is this episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars inside of Star Wars Rebels. How do you think I'm not going to put in an S?
Yeah, that tracks. That tracks. I don't know. I just think there's so many better episodes in this season. I can't really justify putting it.
Also, high. This is incredibly nerdy for me. This is incredibly nerdy for me, and we'll put it in an A then. But
it's a good episode.
But this fulfilled one of my biggest Star Wars like nerd fantasies. Who would win in a fight, a stormtrooper or a battle droid?
That's true. I guess we get the answer to that one.
We do get the answer to that one. I will always thank this episode for that. Yeah. Imperial Super Commandos. A at the very best. I would honestly say B, but that's just me.
Yeah, I can put this in B. I think it's a good episode, but there's better ones as well.
Featuring the lesser Ray Stevenson role in Star Wars. Iron Squadron, I have a soft spot for this episode because it came out on my birthday and I remember being very excited about it. I think this is actually a better episode than most people give it credit for. I understand if you want to put it in C. I think I'd personally put it in B, but...
Okay, I'm fine with B. I think it's certainly not the best episode in this season, but I think getting to meet... What's the name of the young kid?
Mark Madden.
Meeting Mark Madden. It's pretty nice. It's fun. Yeah. I'll give it some credit for that, yeah.
Winkathu job, I'm not going to place higher than C. I'd prefer D. This is an abysmal episode.
Really?
So stupid.
What do you hate about it?
It's just dumb. It's Ezra and his Morrigan and fucking shit. And it's just, I just remember when I was doing my rewatch for taking notes for trivia stuff, I just remember being utterly bored by this episode.
Really? I don't mind. I think it's a fun plot. I think with the Dark Trooper droids. I don't know if that's what they're called.
The DT Sentry droids.
The Sentry droids. These are not the Dark Trooper droids yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we can... Whatever you want is fine.
I'm gonna put it in C. I'm gonna put it in C.
Okay.
Inside Man is really good.
Oh my gosh.
A, I would say.
Oh my gosh. A. But seeing Thrawn just in full swing tracking down the Rebels... as ruthless as possible. It's amazing.
I'm going to say something controversial now, okay?
Okay.
I think the next three episodes, or the next two, I guess you should say, should all be placed in S tier. Visions and Voices in both parts of Ghosts of Geonosis, I think, should both be in S tier. Visions and Voices...
What do they do to credit being that high, though?
Visions and Voices is all the creepy Dathomir shit that we get to see with Ezra and Maul, and finally get that clearance that what Maul's after is Kenobi, indeed. And it's just such a high-tension episode, and I really love that, like, shit. And then we have Kanan and Sabine possessed by the spirits, and just really cool shit. And Ghost of Geonosis is another epilogue to TCW that I really love, plus introducing Saw Gerrera into the mix. And, of course, we get that stuff with Click-Clack and that circle he's drawing in the ground, which nobody can seem to understand, but we all do. We all know what we're talking about.
I forgot about Click-Clack. Yeah, that is pretty cool.
Yeah.
That is pretty dope. This is a good episode for peeling back the layers off that Death Star mystery. I agree. I could give it S if you really...
Yeah. And Visions and Voices also?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, this is where shit starts getting really great in Rebels, in my opinion. Warhead is incredibly fine for me. I would say it's B.
Yeah, I think B, or maybe A. Yeah, I think B is okay.
I don't think I could. Yeah.
I have a soft spot for this episode, personally. I think it's a lot of fun getting to see...
This will be your Iron Squadron for the season.
Yeah, this is my Iron Squadron of the season, but we can keep it at B, but... I'm just saying, I like getting to see Zeb have some time to see. Well, when shit hits the fan, how does Zeb handle it when the others aren't around? And I think this is a great... This episode does do a great job of the just really playing up the suspense. It's very exciting. And at the end, that very ending moment when we realize, oh, shit, this actually helped Thrawn narrow down the search a ton. Oh, God.
That's
one of the best through lines of the season is seeing Thrawn slowly ensnare the Rebels bit by bit each episode.
Here we go again with my controversial takes. I think the next four episodes should all be placed in S tier.
The Trials of the Darksaber, I 100% agree with. Seeing Sabine do her thing.
Trials of the Darksaber is fantastic.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Legacy of Mandalore. You know, Legacy of Mandalore as well. That's a really good episode.
Legacy of Mandalore, in my mind, is actually a better episode than Trials of the Darksaber. And that's not to demean Trials of the Darksaber. It's just to say the Legacy of Mandalore is so goddamn good.
It's a darn good episode. It's a darn good
episode. Through Imperial Eyes is Thrawn and Yularen and Kallus playing a fucking crazy game of cat and mouse with you.
Through Imperial Eyes. Oh my gosh, it's a good episode.
So good.
Oh my gosh.
And then
I completely agree.
If there's one thing I'm going to get out of this fucking tier list is that Secret Cargo is going to be placed in S freaking tier. We get the formation of the Rebel fucking Alliance in this episode.
Yeah.
I think this
clap it up for Mon Mothma. Yeah,
nothing less.
I agree. All four of these, Trials of the Darksaber, Legacy of Mandalore, Through Imperial Eyes, Secret Cargo, you're right. They are all easy S tiers. No question about it.
Double Agent Droid is
I don't know about this one.
Not an S tier episode. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
If you have to start your episode with Chopper and AP5 repeating lines from Annie, get your gun. I think the highest I can place you in is B tier.
Honestly, I could give this one a C or a D. This is really neither here nor there.
Yeah, I think I'm going to put this as C.
We have so many really good episodes that move the story.
We did AP5 at the end, but...
Yeah, this one's...
It's funny, but that does redeem the episode.
Yeah, it's fine.
Twin Sons.
We can skip the formalities. I know there's no way we're giving this anything other than an S.
Twin Sons is the greatest episode of Star Wars Rebels. Fight me. Zero Hour. Yes, I am. Zero Hour also deserves S tier, of course, because...
Zero Hour is just... Man. Zero Hour might be the best episode of Rebels, in my opinion. Either that or one of the season four ones.
We both agree with freaking end of season three just slaps.
Yeah, absolutely.
Twin Sons, we get to see Maul struck down, finally, the little bitch he is, gets cut down, finally. Zero Hour is just fantastic. See your defeat, like many arms surrounding in a cold embrace and all that shit. Yeah.
The Rebels in such a state of desperation is so compelling.
Now we get to season four. Heroes of Mandalore, I would say personally A.
Yeah, I give it an A. I think it's a great opening. But we've seen
I think
better.
The stuff with Ulrich and Bo-Katan is fantastic. This is the only two-parter that I think I'd separate, actually. Uh-huh. I would say that In the Name of the Rebellion Part 1 may deserve it deserves A or maybe S. And part two deserves B, maybe A. And the only reason why is that part one contains the Mothma Guerrera debate, which is so fucking good. Like, it is some of the best writing, like, it's the, some of the best writing Gary Whitt has ever done for Star Wars. And I'm very much including Rogue One in that one. Like, there's that infamous line, if you are going to continue to fight on the Empire's terms, you are going to lose. Just their fiery debate at the beginning of the episode is just fantastic. I would put part one in A and part two in B, but I understand if you want to put both in A.
I think, what's your proposition instead of putting them both in A?
Put part one in A, put part two in B.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
I really love the Guerrera-Mothma debates in that episode. Occupation, I would also put B. I think it's very good.
Yeah, I don't think it's full A, but it's a great episode, though. This is where we really get... This is where it really just hits another level.
Flight of Defender, I would say A as well.
Yeah, I think so as well. I mean, what happens in Kindred? I can't recall.
Kindred is the introduction of Rook. Basically chases them around. I think this is probably B.
You think so? Okay, yeah. Fair. That's fair. Yeah, B. He does just chase them around, actually.
Yeah. Crawler Commandeers is highest C. This was the dud of the season.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. I can give that
a Vajago C. And them messing around on a crawler.
Oh, yeah, Vajago comes back. Yeah. It's nice to see Vajago again. I don't mind that.
Yeah.
Rebel
Assault is, I think probably S as well.
S. This is when Hera gets captured.
Yes. And of course, as we all know, Jedi Knight is F. Of course, that's the most obvious decision ever, right?
Okay, Rebel Assault, let's say S, absolutely.
No, I'm joking, of course. It's all obviously S. Doom also instant S.
Yeah, oh my gosh, absolutely. Come back from that 4-month break. And then immediately have that. I was just like, oh my gosh.
Wolves in Adora are going to be controversial here. Mostly, I think of this episode as the lead up to the next one. I think this is a B tier episode.
What?
Yeah.
Eli, it has to be. Eli, it's S. It has to be A at the very least.
Okay, I'll put Wolves in Adora in A.
Look, I'm a sucker for the mystic side of Star Wars, especially in Rebels, the way they handle
it. Absolutely. But you don't get the mystic side of this episode inside of Rebels in this episode. You get the lead up to the mystic side of Rebels in this episode.
You have the wolves traveling through hyperspace or something. What more do you want?
You get that in other episodes too, you know that, right?
Yeah, okay, fine. But A tier. This is a good episode.
World Between Worlds is automatic S tier. What a fantastic episode.
Very, very, very cool.
What a great Indiana Jones story, as I like to say. Seriously. I'm
gonna open a can of worms with this one, though. Not gonna lie.
Fool's Hope, I would say probably, yeah, I'd say A as well, yeah. And then Family Reunion and Farewell, obviously D tier. No, I'm joking, of course. Family Reunion and Farewell. Yes.
Gorgeous.
Just for the line, Ezra's out there and someday we're gonna find him. It deserves an S tier. And how Ahsoka so beautifully followed up on that. Yeah. In case you can't tell, Jacob and I really love Star Wars Rebels.
We sure do. We do
the most stuff in A tier, closely followed by S tier. This will be posted on the Star Wars in a Galaxy tier maker account. That one took about 40 minutes to do. So it was a longer one. Jacob, you know what time it is?
What time is it, Eli?
It's time to execute Order 66.
Oh, Order 66 scenes.
It's time to execute Order fucking 66.
Is this just scenes from... Oh, it looks like not just Revenge of the Sith.
No, this is canon scenes, baby. We don't have an F tier on this one. And frankly, I don't think we're going to place a lot of things in F tiers in any of these lists. If we do, we'll obviously say so. But yeah, so this is across animation, live action, and video games. Movies and television and video games. I'm so excited about this one. First off, we have Ahsoka's escape. We're looking at the initial escape of Ahsoka with Rex, where I'm thinking of specifically Ahsoka, find Fox, and then she escapes, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I think this is A.
Shattered is such a good episode.
Shattered is a fantastic episode, but, and no offense about Shattered, but here, like, just the fact that, I don't know, I think it's an A, I can maybe see putting in an S.
I think then.
Yeah. Speaking of somebody who I don't think is going to go in A, La Secura. Like the shot after they gun her down, there's a shot of a rock above that I really like, but I don't know if I could place this higher than B or C.
Maybe C. I think she goes out pretty easy, and there's not much English. There's not much to really distinguish this one.
Zeppa, I know people have problems with the retcons and all that shit. Like, I don't care. I was not going to go close to there, actually. But
what? Really? From Bad Batch?
I think it's fine. I think it's fine. I was going to go A, actually. I think I was going to go A or B, but I think A.
Wait, which scene? Maybe I'm confused. Which scene is this?
They gun her down, and then the Bad Batch is like, what the fuck's going on here? And then they chase Caleb throughout the forest and stuff like that. First episode of Bad Batch Aftermath.
Bro, are you kidding me, bro? The clone getting the call from Sidious, and we see that in the background. We see Balava reacting to it. We see the instant change and just the demeanor of the clones, right. The music, everything. This gives me chills. This one really gives me chills. I don't. Why is this not S tier to you? Because I don't know. I remember when we talked about the Bad Batch, we agreed that this was fantastic.
No, I love it. I'm just thinking, like, specifically in the purview of Order 66 scenes.
I feel like in the pantheon of Order 66 scenes, this is right up there with the best of them.
Okay, no, honestly, that's fine. The OG, I feel like we got to put an S.
The OG execute Order 66.
And yeah. Cody, it will be done, my lord. That's classic.
That is classic, absolutely.
Same. Now, this is a shot of Grogu from the Book of Boba Fett. But if we want to include this entire fucking scene, then I gotta put it at S.
Yeah.
For my guy. The door's open. Everything's gonna be all right, kid. And Kelrin fucking Beck, the guy from the YouTube show, saves Baby Yoda from the Jedi Temple on The Mandalorian. What the fuck is that?
Yeah, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Similar vein, we have Jaro and Cal. In Fallen Order, I think actually that's also an S tier. Climbing through that Venator, John Williams music blaring in the background as you're seeing Cal go through his trauma from 5 years ago. That shit rocks.
Yeah, no, that it's brilliant. I think the way that Fallen Order and Survivor address Order 66 is really fantastic and really well done.
Ki-Adi Mundi is a punk bitch, but it's sad, so I'm gonna say B.
Yeah, I think you just see the you see him they you just see them all stop and ready their guns, and you see him look back. Wait, what? And you see the betrayal and the it's good.
Maul, I'm thinking of this is Maul's half where he fucking decides to he does the hallway scene where he makes the hallway the weapon. I don't think I can put this at S. I think I kind of got to put this at A. It's okay, good.
Fair enough.
Yeah. On the same vein as Ki-Adi Mundi, since Plo unfortunately isn't given a lot to do until TCW, I feel like I got to put a Plo at B.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I think it would be lower, but just knowing, watching that does hit a little bit differently if you watch all of the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
There'll be like three episodes where Plo Koon is really important, and now you'll be sad. During this 2 second shot in a movie. If that isn't Star Wars, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
In the best possible way, though. I agree, though. I agree with that.
All right, you see what we have next?
Oh, I can't quite tell.
That's Reva. That's Reva.
That's got to be S tier, right? That's pretty,
absolutely. If you were going to say gnarly, if you said anything other than S, I would have thrown a fucking fit. There's no way that's not S tier in my mind. Absolutely beautifully shot by Deborah Chow. Absolutely beautifully acted by Ayami Sledge and Moses Ingram. God, I love that scene. Probably one of my favorites of all of these, honestly. This is, I think, the deleted scene where we see Anakin's conquest through the temple, specifically killing Shaak-Ti for like the 17th time. B, maybe? A, maybe?
Maybe B, I think. It doesn't really stick in my mind a ton in terms of...
Yeah. Stas Ali, I think, also should be C with Ayla.
Yeah, rip Stas Ali, but there's...
Yeah.
There's not a ton here.
And then Yoda, I love this character. Obviously, listeners know Yoda's my favorite Star Wars character, but... And this scene is good. I think probably B, maybe A at the highest.
Yeah, I would say A. I think seeing Yoda just process and feel the loss, that is pretty heartbreaking. So I would say A for that.
According to every dude, bro, this next scene should be placed in S for some reason.
Walker. I mean, I think just showing what Anakin is capable of. Number one, look, it's iconic and it's heartbreaking and it shows what he's capable of in a really tough to swallow way. I think putting it in S is completely justified.
I feel like I gotta put it in A.
Okay, A is fine then.
Yeah, again, I remember Alex Damon interviewed Ross Biedman, who was the youngling in the scene. It was a fantastic interview, and I think it is a really great moment, but I'm not gonna say the dude bros have ruined it for me, but it's just a little bit like, there are so many people like, we should have seen the murder. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, everybody's got their thing that they're hung up on, you know.
And then we have Zed Jakasa and Bail Organa. I think probably B for me.
Yeah, rip Zed.
Rip Zed. Rip Mr. Jakasa. All right, so that was pretty quick Order 66 scenes. Let's see one of yours. Maybe if you have a shorter one.
Okay, I think both of mine are pretty on the longer side. I have a... Let's see, how many does this have? Oh man, that has a lot as well. 1, 2, 3, 4. All of mine have a lot, so if you have a shorter one that you want to do now, maybe that would be...
I have two shorter ones. So
maybe we do those, then save the other ones for next time.
Yeah. Or maybe if we have time at the end, maybe we'll do one of your longer ones. We'll see which one is shorter, and then... All right.
Jacob, it's time to get going for almost an hour. But
it's time to get fucking speculative, Jacob.
All right. Let's do it. What do you got for us?
Upcoming Star Wars projects to your list.
Ooh. So is this based on hype? Is this based on how are we going to...
Yes.
Based on how hyped we are for it?
Yes.
All right. We've never done anything like this before.
Yeah. This is... No, I feel like we have. But anyway. Maybe. I don't know. Anyway. Point is... There's one going to be exception that we don't put on here, which is that since it's already started to come out, we're going to exclude this was made right before the Bad Batch Season 3 came out. But since it's already out, I'm not going to put Bad Batch Season 3 there.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, Dawn of the Jedi. Now we know, revealed earlier this week when we're recording this, being co-written by James Mangold and the writer of the Narkeena 5 arc of Andor, Bo Williman. Yeah, this one's almost certainly not going to come out for a while, just because we know no names. We know no names to it other than Mangold and Williman now. That was just announced this last week. And all of the other films have way more... All the other announced films have way more going on with them. But yeah, it's... What do you think about Dawn of the Jedi?
Sorry, excuse me. I don't know too much about it.
Because we don't. Because we just don't.
Yeah, especially not... I would say I think it has some potential to go in a really interesting direction. I'm thinking about Legends. We know about Ithon, Osis, the old Jedi. I would give this like a B. Like, I'm pretty...
I was going to say A myself.
I could go... Yeah, I think A or B, whichever you think. I think
I'll say A.
Okay.
All right, here's one that's going to be interesting. I'm ready to get uncomfortable. As a man in the Star Wars face, I'm ready to get fucking uncomfortable, Sharmeen Obaid-Chinoy. Which is not what she said, by the way. And that was about... By the way, that was a... I just want to make that clear. That was a documentary. That was a panel that she was on for a documentary about honor killings in her home country of Pakistan. And that had nothing to do with fucking Star Wars. The dude bro discourse around that is fucking ridiculous. I cannot wait for the return of Rey Skywalker. I cannot wait to have a woman direct a Star Wars movie. It is one of the things on this list that I am definitely the most excited for. I would put it in S, but I think it's not going to end up that high.
I guess we can compromise because I was going to go for B, middle of the pack. So we can say A, I think, for our,
yeah,
to describe our collective excitement. I think it's a pretty, I think it's going to be a very interesting project. I'm very excited to see Daisy Ridley return. I'm really interested to see them, to see the new canon kind of flush out this era on screen. Yeah, I think A is more than fair for the new Jedi Order.
Yeah. This one's tricky because I'm going to give you some behind-the-scenes details on this one. And this is not nothing I'm not allowed to say or anything. This is all pretty well-known. Rogue Squadron would be more interesting to rank if it was happening.
Yeah, what's going on? Because I know it's that not. One's been in the pipeline for a long time. Is it officially
it's not
dead?
Happening. Here's what happened. Rogue Squadron is dead. Pretty much functionally dead. Rogue Squadron was one of the first films announced for After the Skywalker Saga with Wonder Woman director and writer Patty Jenkins on board. Her and Lucasfilm were having some troubles like getting the script ready and stuff like that.
It's like creative differences, maybe?
Creative differences and shit, yeah. Same thing that was happening with the movie being produced, produced, maybe directed, I don't know, by Marvel head Kevin Feige, with Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness writer Michael Waldron. But like those two, I remember there was an article about both of them in the Hollywood Reporter that came out. This was a while ago. It said, yeah, basically both of them are DOA.
Interesting.
Patty Jenkins said on a podcast like a month ago, she's, no, I'm going to turn in a draft of it soon.
Yeah, so we'll see.
And
we'll see, basically.
But I think she owes them a draft. I don't think they're going to do anything with it.
This
is the least
dead,
likely
but not
all of
really
these,
dead.
This is the least likely of all of these to come out. I have way more confidence in every single one of all of these than Rogue Squadron.
Interesting.
Every
okay.
single
so
one.
So are we going to rank it or are we going to... I mean, I guess it's not
it
officially
in,
dead.
I'm going to put it in D just because it's not going to happen. I really don't believe it's going to happen.
Okay. Fair enough.
And even if it is, I wouldn't be crazy excited about it anyway.
Okay, fair enough.
To be really honest. This is just a Star Wars like 3D image, but I happen to know what this is referring to.
What's that?
This is one that's also iffy, but way more certain than Rogue Squadron. This is a Star Wars film about directed and written by Taika Waititi.
Oh, Taika Waititi Star Wars.
Yeah.
Is that solidly coming? Because I've heard some things.
So Taika's taking a while. Taika takes a long time to write, apparently.
Yeah.
And after he hit it big with Jojo Rabbit and especially Ragnarok, it was like a Rian Johnson thing where everybody wanted him to do shit.
Yeah.
And Kathleen Kennedy and Taika both confirmed on many occasions that he's writing it. I don't think it's going to be for a while. But I do think this is still happening. But it's incredibly hard to tell. We have no clue about what this is.
Okay.
We just don't know. So I would put it at C. Because, again, it is happening. We just no clue what's happening.
Okay. Yeah. It's something about this is I think people, when something like this happens, where director or producer project is announced, people are very excited about whoever's heading it up. And then one of their other projects comes out and it's not received well. And all of a sudden, people are freaking out about the other one. We're just happy about it. This isn't fundamentally, because Love and Thunder, a lot of people weren't really fans of Love and Thunder.
Yeah.
But I don't think that fundamentally changes who Taika Waititi is as a writer.
To steal a phrase from a good friend of the show, Alden Diaz, we live in such a what have you done for me lately society.
Yeah, it's a good way of putting it.
All the time. He says that all the fucking time, and it's become almost a meme how often he says that. Where I was on Alden and Ken Napsok's show anytime, and I typed that in the comments, and Alden just looked into the camera with a wry look on his face, and like, God damn it, he's onto my every move now. But we have a Dave Filoni New Republic movie that will wrap up the Grogu saga.
Dave Filoni,
of the
New
three
Republic
films announced in Celebration London, which, by the way, was a year ago on the day of recording this.
Wow.
Yeah. Right? Celebration London was a year ago. We have no idea other than it's going to wrap up. It'll probably be our canon equivalent to The Last Command, the Zahn Thrawn trilogy. it'll obviously include way different characters, but I think it'll involve the same general conflict, New Republic versus Thrawn's Imperial Remnant. Again, a lot of this is speculation because we don't know. Mostly what we know is it's going to tie together the Grogu saga. It's going to be directed by Dave Filoni, and it'll probably release sometime in the mid to late 2020s. I'd say probably 2027, maybe?
I'm excited for this one. It's a ways out, but I think it really depends on what you think of how Dave Filoni has handled Dave Filoni, Favreau, everything stemming from The Mandalorian. But I think it has a lot of potential. I was a big fan of Ahsoka. I'm a pretty big fan of most of The Mandalorian. So I could give this an A for me, personally.
I've made no secret how I feel about Mr. Dave S. Filoni. I don't know if that's his middle initial. I just said that. But yeah, I think that it's solid A for me. The Mandalorian and Grogu, our next Star Wars film in theaters. We just got the release date earlier this week. I believe it is May 22nd, 2026.
What do you think about what do you think about this one?
This is an interesting one. This is really interesting. So it seems that this is going to be in place of season 4 of the show. We don't know that, but it seems like it. It seems like they had a bunch of ideas, and then over the strikes, they're like, this would work. Then over the strikes, John was like, this would work better as a movie. Which is an interesting idea. This is, we'll see. A lot of people are worried about this, like, about the timeline, because releasing within 3 weeks of The Mandalorian Grogu is a small indie movie called Avengers The Kang Dynasty. So people are worried about another Solo fiasco.
But these Solo wasn't because of the timing with other movies. Solo was because of the timing with the other Star Wars movies, I think.
It was also about the timing with Infinity War.
I feel like there was some wiggle room there, but we can
people attribute that. Yeah, but regardless of release date, I don't think it's the final release date anyway, but I think it is going to be sometime in 2026.
I would give this an A, I think.
This a B.
You give this a B? Okay, yeah. We can put it in B.
I think it's going to be fun.
We can put it at B collectively.
I think it's going to be fun. I'm certainly not opposed to The Mandalorian or anything. I think it'll be fun time. It's not something I'm particularly looking forward to. I'm not as attached to Din and Grogu as most people are, as a lot of people are. I don't hate them by any stretch of the imagination, but I think it'll be good. I think it'll be just solid good.
Yeah.
All right. Lando.
Oh,
man. A Star Wars story. Now, we got the confirmation recently this was a few months ago, that this is not going to be a television show anymore. This is going to be a film written by Donald Glover and his brother Steven, and will, of course, star Donald Glover, Childish Gambino himself, as the infamous card player.
Can I say something maybe a little bit unexpected? For me, this is S tier. That's where I would put it in terms of my excitement. I am a believer. I am a huge believer and a huge fan of Donald Glover Jr., of Childish Gambino, of Atlanta, of Community. I feel like a lot of things that he touches are
I'm
very,
sorry,
very
man.
Good.
I think the and highest
this has
I can put
potential.
I'm sorry, man. I think the highest I can put this is A.
Fair enough. I'm fine with that. I knew you would. I knew you would say that. But yeah. I had to toot the horn for Lando.
I think if they, I still haven't picked it up, but I got a copy recently of the Orlando Calrissian trilogy from Legends. And if they go as goofy as that, I am so in.
I hope it's out there.
That'd next, this is not about light and dark. It's about power. And who's allowed to wield it?
The Acolyte. It's coming out soon, isn't it?
June 4th, wow. Baby. June
4th. Wow. Yeah, present for your boy.
I'll take care of
in
this
the
for
vicinity.
Us.
That's not my birthday.
I'll take care of this for us.
I can't argue with Eli on this one. He put it in
S freaking tier. Every time Leslie Headland talks about Star Wars, I grow more excited for this show. She is a true die-in-the-wool fan. Our first ever queer woman Star Wars showrunner, a High Republic and live action for the first time. This is going to be a groundbreaking show in so many metrics for Star Wars. I am so goddamn excited for this show, and plus the trailer looks fucking good. It looks great.
Yeah, the trailer does look good.
our most recently announced and our next Star Wars, Tales of the Empire, which came out a few days ago after at the time of this recording. The trailer came out a few days ago, time of this recording. The Morgan Elsbeth intro, intrigue and stuff like that. But finally, after 11 years, we finally figure out what the hell happened to Barriss Offee.
I'm going to be honest. For me personally, I would put this in S. I think I am very excited. I love the animation style, that continuation of the Clone Wars. I was a huge fan of Tales of the Jedi. I'm very excited for Tales of the Empire.
I'm sorry to be the party pooper here, but I think I want to put it in A.
Fair enough.
I think that's where I was going to put it in generally, but there's some great stuff in here. I'm excited for more Lars Mikkelsen Thrawn. I'm excited for more Inquisitorious stuff. There's some really great stuff, and the trailer is great, but the Acolyte is just peak for me. I'm so excited for that shit.
Did we ever fully rule out that the seventh sister is Barriss? Because they are both Mirialin, and that was a fan theory.
The seventh sister is not Barriss.
Okay, regardless.
And how I know that is because the seventh sister actually trained under Aayla Secura, where, as we know, trained by, let's see, but she's not. Anyway, she's not. Seventh sister is not Barriss.
Okay.
But yeah, finally we get to see what happens to Barriss. I'm so excited about that. All right. Star Wars Skeleton Crew, originally scheduled to come out last year, believe it or not, but now scheduled probably for this holiday season, around Thanksgiving, around Christmas. I think we might see more Peridia shit here, or stuff in that galaxy, at least, is what I've heard. Jude Law as a Force user of some kind, maybe a Jedi, maybe not, who knows. Good shit. I'll say B, though I could be convinced for A.
Okay, I think B is okay. I think this is not one of the ones that I'm jumping out of my seat for, but I think it could be. It has a lot of potential, just based on what we know about it so far.
Do-do. Ahsoka Season 2. I'll take care of this one for us. S tier. Next.
Fair enough. I mean, Ahsoka Season 1 was...
Ahsoka Season 1 was really truly glorious.
So.
It was truly glorious, and I cannot wait to see what Dave does to pick this stuff up. Fantastic characters, wonderful story. I'm so excited for Ahsoka Season 2. Oh, yes, we have Is Better Than Season 2. This one's tricky for me.
You know how I feel about Andor.
All right, so yeah, that's where we're putting it. We're putting an A.
All right. Because
for me, it's solid B. I think I'm gonna like it better than Season 1 because I think it will features the more connections to the larger rebellion and the larger story going on. But yeah, no, Andor is not my thing, as I've talked about a few times. So I'm not gonna. It's not bad by any stretch of the imagination. I don't hate it, but yeah. And then we have trailer coming.
I think what usually happens, or the pattern that we see with the live action shows, is that in the second season, the scope tends to widen. There's more crossovers. But I hope that they don't do that with Andor. I think
they've told us they'll do that.
Yeah. I hope that they don't let it get too out of control. Because I think part of what made was that it wasn't very dependent on that aspect of Star Wars to be compelling and successful.
And of course
I'm sure they'll do a good job. Of course, this is the
final season of the show. Ties directly into Rogue One. Tony Gilroy confirmed the last scene of Season 2 will be Cassian walking on the tarmac on the Ring of Kafreen, going to meet Tivik for some information about this planet-killing superweapon.
Seamless.
It's incredible. That is something I love. Finally, we're getting our first story trailer for this game at the time of this recording on Tuesday. So it'll be about a week ago at the time of this episode premiering. Star Wars Outlaws by Ubisoft.
Oh.
I think this will be a whole hell of a lot of fun. I think this will be
Do
a whole
hell
of a lot of fun.
Do we know what kind of game this is supposed to be? Is it the
original
concept? Yes,
this is an open world. This is an open world Star Wars game taking place between the events of The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. You play as Kay Vess, a smuggler who's trying to make it in the galaxy with her pet Nix. And a commando droid who the internet has been thirsting over since he's been announced because he's a commando droid in a trench coat named ND5. That's solid B for me.
Yeah, I think in general, I think Star Wars bonus video point. Games are not. Go I beg ahead, your pardon?
Sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry, I in general, Star Wars video games are not my bread and butter, my number one cup of tea. I do enjoy a lot of them from time to time. So yeah, I think B is more than fair, given what we know and don't know so far.
Although I will say, given everything we know about video games, we should have another thing on this list, which is Jedi 3. Because that has been announced. We are getting another Jedi game.
Oh my goodness.
We're getting a final.
That'll be very exciting.
It's going to be a final Jedi game, and I think I'd put that in A or maybe even S. But yeah. So that was our upcoming Star Wars projects based on hype. Again, we didn't include Bad Batch because it's already happened, most of it. At the time of this recording, we've just seen Identity Crisis and Point of No Return. This is a weird fucking tier list that I found. And I'm like, okay, we got to do this now. This is, as this tier list maker has described it, obscure Star Wars characters.
Oh.
No rhyme or reason behind any of these. These are just like, they're just kind of here.
This sounds like a certain bracket challenge we did not too long ago.
Yes, but this is even more shitposty.
Really? Okay.
Yes. First of all, we got to fire up them loud another round of shot. Turn it down for what?
It's Watt Tambor. Mr. Techno himself with all the dials, all the bells and whistles. What are we, are we basing this off of just meme worthiness, or are we trying to do this seriously? What's your feeling here, Eli?
I feel like we should just do this based on vibes and how much we like the characters. And I think that based on that, I think Watt should be no lower than S tier.
Okay, S tier it is.
We gotta turn down for Watt, baby. That's the Galaxy of Heroes Watt that's in there. He gives us the tech, he taunts, he recovers protection, he gives us those heal over times. Real asset. Meeber Gascon.
Meeber Gascon. That's gotta be an A.
Meeber's I was gonna say A. Yeah.
What the legend. OG LARPer.
Yeah. I'm just about to watch D Squad arc again in a few weeks, and I'm very excited about that as part of my Clone Wars rewatch. Shout out to a good friend of the show, Claire Stribling. Salacious B. Crumb. Job is Jester. I think just for Claire, I think I gotta put this in A.
Yeah, okay. For Claire. He creeps me out, though.
We have everybody's favorite Sith Lord, except for nobody's favorite Sith Lord, Darth Malak. Now, I don't want him to drain all that, I don't want to lose all that health. So I feel like we got to place him somewhat high. I don't want to get fear.
I hate Darth Malak just from Galaxy of Heroes. Just from the Galaxy of Heroes days, I was around just long enough to get the full brunt of the Malak reign of terror. So I can't put
it
him
was truly a reign of
that.
It was truly a reign of terror. I will say this.
It was a reign of rage.
I want to put him in a B, and only because of this award-winning picture thing, award-winning thing that they did with Malak. Where, I don't know if you remember this, but halfway into KOTOR, they decided that they wanted to do a subplot where they wanted to start repairing his jaw.
I'm familiar,
And then they just decided, and they decided to do that for one scene, and then they just stopped and didn't do it for any other scenes, and it was like nothing had happened. They just did it randomly because it's the most random ass thing ever. B tier.
All right.
Delta Squad.
Delta Squad. I don't know too much about Delta Squad. They're from
Legends. Yeah, they're okay. Mostly from Legends. In canon, though.
Oh, they are in canon. Okay.
Bad Batch. Clone Wars and Bad Batch.
Oh. When are they in Bad Batch?
Scorch is the one who captures Omega at the end of season 2.
Oh.
But they haven't done a lot with them,
personally.
So, yeah, I'm going to give Delta Squad C. Sorry for any Delta Squad hardcore fans, but yeah. Old buddy. Hello, Dex. Dexter Jetster.
Dexter Jetster. The OG Restaurateur. You got to be at least B, maybe.
I think I was going to say A, but that's just me.
And I'm completely tripping, but A is fine. I swear, in one of the old Star Wars visual dictionaries, I can't remember which one exactly. They all have all the visual dictionary, visual encyclopedia. There's a bunch of editions of each one, and they all sound exactly the same. But in one of these visual encyclopedias, I'm pretty sure the book alleges that Dex uses his experience from his time as a miner to put artificial mining fluids and chemicals into his food to make it more tasty and more addictive to get customers coming back. I think just for that, I think he would be a great fit. He'd be a great fit in the McDonald's food science division or any other American fast food chain for that matter.
Yeah. But, we have our girl, Shelly Lona Afra.
Dr. Afra. Loki, a legend at this point.
Yeah.
Like,
several comic
runs. A lot of street cred.
LGBTQ plus icon in Star Wars. One of the first ever main LGBTQ plus characters. Basically evil Star Wars Indiana Jones. I think she deserves S tier.
Yeah, I think S tier as well. S tier for Dr. Afra. The hapless Rodian.
The hapless Rodian himself, Greedo, I think C suits him well.
Fair enough.
All right. So this one goes in, actually, I forgot to make F tier. This guy goes in F tier, and let me explain to you why. Who do you think that is?
I can't tell from the thumbnail. It's small on my screen right now.
Okay. It's a Gungan.
That's a very sad Gungan, it looks like.
Yes.
And I'm not sure who that could be.
This man's name is George R. Binks. This is from a comic.
George R. Binks.
George R. Binks and his wife had a son who they named Jar. George was his father. But this is a scene of him, I don't know if you see, he's putting a pistol to his head.
Yeah, wow. That's dark.
Because he wants to kill himself because of how stupid and useless his son is, basically.
Oh my gosh.
And this is just like, for me, this is just like overreaction to the anger of Jar from the Phantom Menace. I think it's stupid, honestly.
Yeah.
So that's why I want to put George in F.
Okay, fair enough.
I think really this is in one issue of Star Wars. Field. This is in one issue of Star Wars Tales. Just stupid. I just don't like it. We have our guy Claude. Our guy Claude, who apparently works as a mechanic on the Millennium Falcon, despite the noticeable problem of having no arms.
Yeah. Where is he
Which,
from?
He's a Trotodome.
Hmm.
No, Trotatome. I always get that mixed up. Trotatome. He is from the planet. We don't actually know what planet he's from. He's a Trotatome. But introduced for Rise of Skywalker. Just a weird little guy, hangs out on the Falcon. I'd say probably B, along with Malak.
All right, fair enough. I agree with that.
We have the Mithril from The Mandalorian. Now, this one's kind of tainted
Mithril
because
from
now
the Mandalorian.
We know. This one's kind of tainted because now we know Horatio Sands, who played the Mithril, was very credibly accused on multiple counts of sexual harassment when he worked at Saturday Night Live. So that's tainted my view of the Mithril ever since. So I would say C at the highest.
Yeah, he didn't really do much as a character anyway, so I think C is fine.
Yeah, actually, I'll put him in D. I'm going to put him in D.
Okay.
But whatever. We have our guy, Nine Numb. Comfortably Numb. Jared hates Nine Numb. I learned that recently. Jared, a friend of the show, Jared the Dark Jedi, hates Nine Numb for no reason at all.
It's hilarious. Why? Does he say why?
No, he was just like, my favorite part of The Rise of Skywalker is when that motherfucker died. Like, literally no explanation to me. I don't know. I like Nine Numb a lot. I think at least A.
Okay. Yeah, I think A as well. I think Nine Numb's... You know what? I could go S for Nine Numb, to be honest. Let's do S for Nine Numb. The vibes are always good when Nine Numb's involved. And didn't he fly the Falcon with Lando in Return of the Jedi?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, what's not to love about Nine Numb?
All right, next one is an easy one. We gotta have S tier for my guy, Paudok Drabatakot Sap Directi Nick Linke Tivef Nick Nisevef Lee Kek. And yes, that is his full name.
All right. Gotta have S for my boy Pow. Agreed.
My guy Pow, who by the way, if you remember, said Carabast in that movie.
He said, when did he? Oh my goodness.
When an AT-ACT fires at them, he goes, Carabast, Atat.
Oh yeah, you're right. You're so right.
Which he was technically wrong about because it wasn't an Atat. It was an AT-ACT, but whatever. Still legendary, and also, of course, provides that great offense up for you to keep rallying the Mon Mothma team in Galaxy of Heroes. We have Poggle the Lesser, which I remember the day I realized that was Poggle the Lesser as opposed to Karina the Great was a great day. It was a moment of glory for me. I would say Poggle A tier, maybe B tier, maybe. I don't know.
B-tier. I think B tier, because we know Karina the Great's really. We know who's really winning.
Ray Sloan, a popular Ray choice Sloan? to appear in The Mandalorian. Somebody
she
who I think
is
really cool.
In Legends.
She's not a Legends character.
What? Who am I confusing her with then? I know Natasi she's not Dalla, a Legends character.
Isard?
No, she's originally from Legends, is she not?
No, you're wrong about that.
Okay.
Ray Sloan Fair was enough. Originally introduced in John Jackson Miller's A New Dawn, which was the first ever canon novel.
Oh, okay. So maybe it's just old enough that I'm confused it on the other side of that line.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm thinking of someone else.
But Ray Sloan, I think we should put an A or S. She's cool.
Yeah, definitely. Sloan's cool.
Similarly, on a similar note, Sidon Athano, the Crimson Corsair, background character in Force Awakens and also seen in Star Wars Resistance, I think he also deserves S.
You think so? What does
yes,
he really
I
do,
like-
though? Look, okay. Fair enough. You seem to... You feel strongly about this. That's fine.
All right. Here we go. Here comes the pitchforks.
Uh-oh.
Sorry, Jared. Sorry, Buck. But I want to put Galen Middick in F tier.
Fair enough. I don't know much about Galen Merrick as a character, I think. That's all right.
I love Sam Witwer.
Right,
I really
me.
Do.
I've never done.
I think he does great as other stuff. But truly, I don't like The Force Unleashed. It's fine. The story is completely fine. But Starkiller is so incredibly needlessly edgy. And The Force Unleashed 2 is a fucking train wreck. The sequel is a fucking train wreck. It's terrible. Fuck The Force Unleashed 2. Seriously? Truly? That game is a mess.
Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah, no, we're going to do full Force Unleashed games, actually, and later on, in a galaxy, and you'll see Force Unleashed, your mileage may vary. Some people love it, some people hate it. TFU 2, actually, Jared actually has told me he likes it, which makes zero sense to me, because it's almost universally acknowledged that TFU 2 is just a bad game. And most of that's not the fault of any... buddy, but the executive team on it who were trying to push the developers to release it in a certain amount of time, and it was very unfinished.
See.
But, no, the story is just awful. Do you see what's next?
What's next? Is this the Wailing Mountain?
This is Mount Sorrow, yes.
Mount Sorrow. Oh my gosh.
I'm going to put him in D tier because as funny as the idea is, still don't really vibe with Star Wars for me.
Yeah, it crosses the line, I think, of maybe there is such a thing as too far.
Yeah. I'm not like diametrically opposed to Mount Sorrow in the way I am to something like George Binks, actually, but I think it's a little much.
Yeah. Okay.
Next, we have Turgle from Jedi Survivor. I saw everybody go fucking crazy over this guy, and I didn't understand. I think C at best.
I don't know who this is.
He's one of the residents of Kobo who greets Cal at the very beginning of the game.
Oh, Yeah.
You'll see him. We're going to be doing Jedi Survivor pretty damn soon, actually. Yeah. So
I think I've seen that part of Survivor, maybe. I think we
can. It's the very beginning. Yeah. We have Wham Luffba, a Yuzum Rebel Alliance soldier.
S tier. Just look at him, man. Just look at him.
Oh, actually, no. He's not a Rebel Alliance soldier. He's a bounty hunter.
Certified Viber. I love the Yuzum. They're the coolest.
All right, species. For you, I'll put him in S tier then. And finally, and I have to say this, we have to add this man to our council of Star Wars characters. So it's a council now. It's not just the two of you. I went to get the calamari pizza, but it turns out the calamari are people too, and I did not know that. Robot chicken is fantastic. Yariel Poof B.
Yeah, I think B.
Yeah, I'm excited to.
He gets a second life in Robot Chicken, but besides that, yes, not much.
I'm excited to read about him in John Jackson Miller's new novel, The Living Force, which I'm very excited about. But other than that, yeah. So that was weird ass Clipshittos, as I'm going
to
call it.
What a handful today.
Anyway, that's going to be it for this episode of Star Wars in the Galaxy. This was a lot of fun, as it always is for me.
Sure was.
Next week, we get back to Young Jedi Adventures. And here's what we're going to be doing. Let me pull up our document so I can get this right. Yes. Okay. So we are going to be... We're going to be doing more jumping around with Young Jedi Adventures, our highlighted watch through that great little season. So last we left off with episode 12, Off the Rails and the Thieves of Tharnaca. We're going to be in the first half of episode 13, Tree Troubles. The first half of episode 14, Charhound Chase. And both halves of episode 15, An Adventure with Yoda and the Talon Takeover. I'm very excited for all of them. Charhound Chase is important because we meet some pre-existing High Republic characters in that episode, which is exciting. Free Trebles is exciting also because fuck Raxlow. Yeah, I'm excited to keep going on with Young Jedi Adventures. But
absolutely, so it's good fun.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Star Wars and Galaxy. You can find us everywhere. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, everywhere you get your podcasts, we'll be there. You can find us everywhere at In a Galaxy Pod. Find me on my Linktree, linktr.ee/_fan327. Hope you enjoyed. I think by the time this comes out, I think this will have already happened. We didn't promote this enough on the show, but hope you enjoyed our bracket stream with Brooke, with Jared, with Michael, and with Buck. We enjoyed it the hell. We haven't recorded it. We haven't done the stream yet with this episode, but we always love doing the bracket streams. Check out Epic Confrontations. We should have just recorded a match by now. The Jedi Lords versus Big Chungus. And yeah, we got a lot of great stuff going on. But in the meantime, may the Force be with you.
Always.
Always.